Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace.
Motherhood. It's a loaded word with connotations from every angle. Some good, some not so good. Many fear it because they don't want the responsibility. Some are coveting it because they long for the opportunity and haven't had it yet. And others are surviving because they are just overwhelmed by what is coming. Some are loving it. And men who are listening, just know that you're going to gain some beautiful insights today for the women that you love and are in your world who are in motherhood. So our guest is not only going to bless your socks off with her practical wisdom, hope, and grace for today, but she's a trusted voice for the modern mama, and I hope you lean in close.
Allie Worthington, known for her straight-talking encouragement, practical tools that help women reach their dreams in business and life, is the author of 5 books, including The Year of Living Happy, Fierce Faith, Breaking Busy, and her latest, Remaining You While Raising Them. She's a speaker, podcaster, and life and business coach who launched Called Creatives, a cohort of women speakers and writers. Her guilt-free take on business, family, and balance has led to multiple appearances on the Today Show and Good Morning America. Allie lives with her husband, Mark, and their 5 sons outside of Nashville. Allie, it's really great to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you both.
Well, Allie, you know that stories are important behind why we do what we do. And at Living Wholehearted, we really believe deeply on us leaders understanding that story. So tell our audience a little bit about the backdrop of who you are and why you're doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, as you mentioned, my husband and I have 5 sons, and I never had any intention of ever talking about anything parenting or motherhood related. Started my business after being a stay-home mom for 10 years. We went through a financial difficulty in 2008 when a lot of people did, lost our home and lost most of everything we owned and started over again. And it was in 2008, I started going, let me learn about online business, because it was the beginning of everything. So built my company and have for the past 15 years loved working with women primarily. But it was, this book came out of so many people saying to me, we really need you to speak into this. We need you to dive in. I was serving on the teaching team of a local church, and a Mother's Day came up, and they said, we want you to do a Mother's Day message. And because they knew me so well, they said, we want you to just be Allie. Just bring what you're feeling, like state of motherhood, how it could be. Just be you. Don't do a normal, very earnest Mother's Day talk. I went, okay. So just laid everything out there, all the research I've been doing, experience coaching women. And everyone went, can you please turn this into a book? And that was how I knew this was my next topic to tackle. Just the need, because there aren't a lot of resources for women, especially not Christian women. There are some out there, but as I learned really quickly surveying my audience, a lot of what's out there is very triggering for women. Where women said, I read this book or that book, but I wished I hadn't, or I felt worse after I read it than when I began, or I stopped halfway through because it made me feel terrible. And that was a huge push for me, that I wanted to tackle motherhood in a healthy way.
Love it. Allie, you state in your new book that modern motherhood is broken. So how so? And how has this reality impacted your life and the lives of other moms?
I think we see it all the time with being moms, dads, you know, there's the race, the busyness, all the pressure. Then you put social media on top of it. And I think that is what is really breaking us. When I surveyed over 1,000 women and said, you know, how does mom guilt affect you? Over 95% said they deal with it in one way or another. But the largest single cause of mom guilt, it wasn't ourselves or our spouse or our mother-in-laws. It was social media as the trigger, which I found shocking. So not only do we put pressure on ourselves and we're living these incredibly busy lives that are high pressure, we open up Instagram or Facebook and immediately are hit with, look at all of these women who know something I don't know and look at me failing in my real life. You know, there's families that are all dressed up in the same color and they're in a field in front of a barn and the dog is smiling. And for us, you know, it looks like real life and the dog just threw up on the carpet and you want to throw your phone across the room. So I think it's all of the pressure, but that combined with being inundated constantly with pictures and videos of people who look like they're getting it right, that's taken motherhood to a breaking point.
Mm-hmm. Talk about why women don't just stop social media. Because if we know it's that, you know, if it hurts you, don't do it. None of us listen to that advice. But why do you think moms still keep going to social media when they just feel icky over and over again?
Well, okay, the nerdy answer would be that the companies that have developed the social media apps have developed them for the dopamine hit that we get when we open it up because something's new, something's exciting. And it's kind of like people at a slot machine just putting in dimes. I guess it's not, I don't know what you do. I don't know the money amount, but you know, you're always just hoping that you're going to get a hit. And that's the way it is for social. That plus we feel like social media keeps us connected. But I think that there are ways to manage it. I think realistically, if it's people you don't know and they are, you know, influencers or they're projecting perfection, we really need to unfollow them for our mental health. If it's people you know, but you do find yourself triggered, now you guys can speak to this quite a bit, and you find yourself triggered, maybe you mute that person because maybe you don't want to have the awkward conversation that you needed to unfollow them. But I think we need to fill our timelines with things that are going to help us. My timeline is full of roller coasters and animals and educational content and a few friends and people I know. But I will ask myself when I feel triggered by certain content, am I triggered because there's something I need to kind of dive into? Is there something in me I need to deal with? Or am I triggered because I'm tired of seeing this person constantly project perfection? And because I'm a human, I'm sitting at home and my brain is going, well, now I feel lonely because this person is out having an amazing time. That happens. And when there's nothing deeper behind it, we just know that we need to unfollow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I laugh because I didn't do social media for the longest time because I had the privilege of sitting in the counseling office, listening to the impact of it over and over and over. And I was like, this thing is not good for me. I knew myself. Well, becoming an author, you understand, Allie, that social media is a part of that. And so I jumped on social media and I laughed because I didn't know the social etiquettes of it. And my first post, one of my first posts was a picture of my laundry in my living room piled high because I had this habit of running the laundry, but never having time to fold it. So I would just throw it on the couch. And I was like, we got a soccer game. We got to go. And so I took a picture of it and I posted it. And it was such a beautiful response from all these moms who were like, thank you for showing me the reality of your living room. I just didn't know. I was like, well, this is life. That's what we post. But the longer I've been on it, the harder it is to do that because there is this pull to kind of want to keep up with like, oh, I don't know if people want to see my dirty underwear in my living room. But all that to say, there's this mother guilt. There's this burnout that happens. You call it the mother load. Speak to what you mean by that and what is happening for mamas.
Yeah, I think it, in most families, women carry the mental load of worrying about your kid's test. And when was the last time the dog went to a vet? Did my husband go to the dentist? And what am I going to get for my mother-in-law's birthday? And all the little details. I know I'm painting with a broad brush, but men tend to not keep up with all the details like women do, right? So women are carrying that mental load. Sometimes it happens by accident. Sometimes it happens because the women say, I know how I want things, so I'm just going to take care of everything, you know, until we hit a wall and go, I'm tired of taking care of everything. But that's the mental load. But I think when you combine the mental load with motherhood, that's when you get the mother load, because then you're not just taking care of everything for yourself and your spouse. Then you add kids to the equation and it becomes completely overwhelming. So I think learning to identify what we need help with, and then having some great, what we do with this book is give women scripts for how to explain that we need help, explain the division of labor needs to be split up a little differently when your kids get older, how to make sure your kids are carrying their own weight, so we aren't just completely frazzled all the time. I remember when I was 8 years old, I went to a Christmas celebration at my great aunt Shirley's house. And I didn't know her that well. I hadn't spent a ton of time with her, but I knew when I got there that she wasn't in a good mood. I mean, she was smiling, she was gracious, but I knew something was wrong. And as we went through the day, I learned that she had been cooking for 3 days. I knew this because she told everybody repeatedly. And I knew there was something wrong at eight there, the vibe, something was off. I didn't know what was going on, but I can remember it being such a core memory for me of me going, whatever's going on here, I want to make sure this isn't my life in the future, because I didn't have a good time. It was a Christmas celebration. No one really had a good time because Aunt Shirley had this underlying anger and a little bit of bitterness. Even though she was smiling, even though things were quote unquote great and happy that day. And I didn't find out until after she passed that she never wanted to cook. She never even wanted to host, but she felt like it was her place in the family to do that. So she never raised her hand and said, hey, can everybody bring a dish? Or can we switch off hosting every year? She did it because she thought she had to, and she didn't think she had permission to ask for help. And I want to help women kind of analyze what's going on in their lives and go, what are my things to do? What are the things I need to offload to someone else? And just give women permission to do motherhood in a way that works for them.
I love that, Ali. And as a mother and just a woman, and sitting with so many women who are very capable, but we hear it over and over, even you do, Jeff, mm-hmm. we just sat with a bunch of leaders.
Yep.
There's this have to voice, the shoulds, but there's also just this have to. And I always want to undermine that with a sense of love chooses. And so when you can do that work, you're helping women kind of sort through and do kind of the sifting and going, what are the things that I'm choosing to do with joy? And the things that I have to, why am I doing that anymore? And is there a place I can delegate that? I love that. Even to our own kids, you know, so this idea that there's a have to, you're giving freedom to women to say, yeah, there you get to have joy too in the family. Yeah. you're a person, yeah. You get choices. And so that's beautiful.
How we're feeling, whether we're joyous or we're resentful or even a little bitter, it's ridiculous to think that's not affecting everyone else in the family. That we can just sacrifice ourselves and everyone else can be emotionally healthy living with us. It just doesn't work that way.
That's the truth.
It's hard to believe, but fall will be here soon. I know some of us just started summer over here in the Pacific Northwest, so don't cringe when I say this. But as you start thinking about back to school, I want to encourage you to think about how you can be praying for your kids this next school year. We are parenting in a world that feels unsteady and confusing. Our kids are facing issues that we have never thought of before, especially those of us who are older and what we grew up with. While our ever-changing world wants to mark our kids' childhood with these things, God wants to mark them with a faith that transforms their lives from the inside out. So whether you're feeling excited or anxious about this upcoming school year, maybe your kids are going into middle school and you've got those normal anxieties, or maybe heading into kindergarten, wherever they're at, the highs and lows this year, meet it with prayer. The Christian Parenting 2023-2024 Prayer Journal is now available. So Marked by Prayer is a prayer journal for Christian parenting that was created just for you. This journal will guide you in praying for your kids every week of the school year. Each week presents a new topic to journal about. Topics include things like generosity and self-discipline, salvation, godly friendships, and more. So join us as we pray for our kids and that they would be marked by God. Visit cpgive.org to request your school year prayer journal, Marked by Prayer. Again, that's cpgive.org. Request your copy of Marked by Prayer today. You can also listen to Pardon the Mess podcast each Monday to listen to your guided prayer and reflections that follow the journal. It's a hand-in-hand combination, and we are so grateful to partner with Christian Parenting. It's your prayer journal today.
Allie, you alluded to this a little bit in terms of just how remaining you while raising them is not a typical how-to parenting book. How and why did you structure your book differently? I mean, I think you've, again, kind of teed us up into this a bit, but let's get a little practical about what's inside.
Yeah, and it's, I think the classic parenting book, it is tough to write because every woman's different, kids are different, and we can give all of the, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that, the advice all day long, but if our foundation needs work, if we aren't emotionally healthy, I think people can take all this advice, but it's not going to get the results that people want. So I really wanted to go deeper and go, let's work on you. And then you can do the other things and it's going to come a lot easier. So the first part of the book is all about kind of what life looks like for women right now and saying that it doesn't have to be this way. And then the middle chapters are the mom lies that we have believed, these myths that women have believed so long. I wanted to dive into the five most common ones. And then the final section are the habits that can help us thrive. And I start off that section by going, I know you're doing a lot. I know you probably feel like you're doing too much. I get it. I'm not giving you more work. I want to give you some tips to make life a little bit easier because I have not met a mom in the past 25 years who hasn't been on the edge of burnout from everything that she's doing.
I ditto that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, it makes me think a little bit about the two are better than one, for they have a good return for their work. Now, for the moms that are listening here that maybe are single moms, this is they're carrying both loads, right. If you will. And as a husband, as a father, and speak maybe a little bit, in your book, do you address or connect women about how they can team with their teammate? You know, so often in relationship, it's amazing. I mean, even as the years go by in marriage, we just can easily default into, well, I do this, you do this. And you don't even, before you know it, you don't even know how you got there.
Yeah, there's a chapter in the habits section all about marriage because the marriage relationship is that relationship that's going to help our children. It's going to tell our children what love looks like and what partnership looks like. Because when we work on ourselves, we want to be able to make sure that we're working on ourselves in partnership with our spouse. Now, our spouse may not wake up one day and go, I really want to work on my emotional health too. It may not happen overnight, but when one spouse works on themselves and gets more emotionally healthy and learns self-regulation of emotions, there's always a positive effect on the other spouse. So just talking about great communication, there's a lot on communication. I rely a lot on John Gottman's work, of especially the 5-to-1 ratio, that for every negative interaction, you want 5 good interactions, and share that. You know, sometimes for us, that's me buying my husband his favorite candy. You know, it doesn't have to be big, huge gestures, but making sure the emotional tone of the marriage is healthy so we can give that environment to our children.
I love it. And I'll just be honest, as I work with many moms who have maybe like waited too long, right? And the volcano has built. The starting out points of some of these habits that we're going to share, have you share more of, might look a little funky first. You know, there's kind of a reset. It takes a while, just like when you're teaching your little children, your 3-year-old, you know, how to not throw food, Cheerios off the table. It takes a while and you got to be patient with the adjustment to the new habits. And so I think about, buying candy bar for your husband, for some would be like, I don't want to, I don't even want to talk to him, and saying, okay, well, let's start small. Let's move, shift. But over time, the volcano starts to, you know, kind of calmed down a little bit and it isn't so funky anymore.
Yeah, and I address that in the marriage chapter of negative sentiment override, where over time, mm-hmm. our sentiment about our partner becomes just overtly negative. I think it was, I forget the psychologist that came up with the term devilizing, where if, you know, he forgets to go by CVS and pick up something for you on the way home from work, you're like, well, he never loved me and I hate him and let's burn it all down. Because our sentiment toward our spouse has become negative. So we see him in a light that everything he does is negative and his intentions are bad. And it takes a while of reconnecting with our spouse and opening up communication and even going, I can't stand this guy, but I'm going to get him a candy bar and make a nice gesture to get out of that negative sentiment override and hopefully over time shift things into an overwhelming positive perspective to our spouse.
Yeah, I love that, Allie. It's, you know, I talk to a lot of younger emerging leaders and they are in awe of women of like you and I who are, have been doing these things for a while and have been building a lot of habits. So before we get to more habits, I'd love for you to speak to some of the lies that you talk about, because that is often where I'm going, you're getting a perception of all that I'm doing. When I was at your place, here's what it looked like behind the scenes. So help us understand what some of those common lies that women are holding that is running interference with their motherhood.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest is that we should be like Wonder Woman. We should be able to do it all, right? I mean, I love Wonder Woman. I'm a huge fan. I love her golden cuffs. I love how she does everything right. But if Wonder Woman was someone's mother, she would be a terrible mother because she wouldn't be able to connect when her child was in pain. When her child was anxious or afraid or failed at all of the things you fail in childhood and you have to get up and, you know, brush yourself off and go again, she wouldn't be able to connect. She would mm-hmm. literally do everything right. So by the time that child left for college, that child is completely ill-prepared to deal with real people, people who are going to disappoint them, people are going to let them down. That child has never dealt with someone making mistakes and then apologizing for it and repairing the relationship and all of the things that are so important. I pulled some research from the former head of the Counselors Association for colleges. And he said this generation that's in school, you know, in the past 10 years, they are the most ill-equipped because they have had parents literally doing everything for them. So they come to school and they fall apart. We have all heard the stories of parents of college students who are calling professors and getting so involved. So we think we should do everything right. We think we shouldn't make mistakes, but actually it's really healthy to make mistakes and mess up and be people who are fallible in front of our children. So then we can repair the relationship. We can, you know, help them understand perseverance in relationships, help them with forgiveness, help them develop a little grit. Because if we're not doing that, we're actually handicapping our children as they go out into the world. So we think we should be perfect, but being perfect is the worst thing that we could do for them.
I love that. And it's so vital because I do think it also goes towards, Allie, I don't know if you speak to this in your book, but why a lot of Christian kids leave the church. Because they go, I don't think I was equipped to deal with real life and what it looks like to feel despair and disappointed and deal with conflict because we are trying to make it all look good and make their lunches and send them out with a kiss. And they don't see us crying. They don't see us trying to pay our bills. They don't see us, you know, in the conflict. We always talk about needing our kids to see the conflict and the repair. Not too much. I mean, if you're doing that at every meal, that's also not healthy, but
a little stressful.
Yeah. Right? Balance it out a little bit. So, okay. So I love that. Don't be Wonder Woman or don't think you need to be Wonder Woman. But talk a bit more about those habits. You speak about the magic question habit. I'm so curious.
What this one's so powerful. And it's this simple question. What do I need right now? Now the question, what do I need? If you ask a mom, she will normally go, I haven't thought about what I needed in years. I have no idea what I need. And so I changed it to what do I need right now so it can be more accessible to her. So, you know, in the moment, what do I need right now? It could look like, well, I need a snack. or tonight I need to get a little more sleep, or I need to have a hard conversation, or I need to get a housekeeper in here, whatever it is, what do I need right now? And just getting in the habit of checking in with ourselves and honoring the fact that we have needs. I think a lot of women have guilt that we do have needs. We have guilt that we're not doing everything perfectly and super women. But again, that would hurt our children if we were. And for me, I have it on an index card in my office. I have a post-it note around the house. I have a reminder that pops up on my phone occasionally. And it's just, what do you need right now? So it gets me in the habit of checking in with myself, because I don't want to put my needs on the shelf and let myself get to a place where I'm aggravated. I'm a little bitter because I feel like nobody's taking care of me and I have so much to do, all of those normal things, because that will affect my children. But if I can catch that early and go, what do I need? Well, I need a snack. I need to not answer that email until tomorrow that's annoying me. I need to make sure that I can get a little downtime tonight to read a book and just take care of myself in little tiny ways. It doesn't have to be huge. That will protect me from boiling over, and it will protect my children and the emotional tone of the household.
It really is a secret in so many ways to get past what feels like guilt or shame, selfishness, which really it's not. Actually, taking care of us allows us to take care of others and be a part of giving our very best. And that regulation skill is so key. Same thing. We tell little leaders that we work with all the time, go to the bathroom if you have to go to the bathroom.
I mean, just leaders,
you know, take care of these things, and in taking care of you, it actually connecting them to the ability of, it allows you to not use other people to get your needs met in an unhealthy way, but actually to be available, because your needs are being regulated and met, to actually serve and moms serve, but to connecting them to that purpose of serve out of resource instead of obligation or, or any other motivation. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And dads and husbands, in where there are couples, families intact in that way, can support, can see, can come alongside, can team. It's a team sport, raising a family. And we want to acknowledge the fact that that's really difficult for those that don't have teammates in this time. But boy, when if you are married and you've got kids, there's a role for both teammates to play. It's a discovery through the process of raising kids, and it's exciting.
Well, I want to be honest here for a second.
Yeah.
As a woman, I've told Jeff many times, I was like, you do not get it. Men seem to ask for what they need all the time. Like Jeff's like, I'm going to go for a run. I'm like, well, gosh, I was just going to ask you to help me with dinner. but if I, in my old ways, Ali, which is what you're speaking to for a lot of women, I wouldn't have said that. I would have just let him go for the run. And then in my mental script, and then like, he always gets what he wants. I never get what I need, right? And we play that out day over day, and it's like plaque. Yeah, it's like plaque on teeth. And then eventually it turns into cavities and really funky things, right? So I would say in that moment, oh, I love that you want to go for a run. Thanks for telling me. But I also need some help with dinner because I'm trying to get the girls out for soccer and volleyball. Could you help me real quick first, right? Before you go for his run. And he goes, yeah. But most of the time, he wouldn't have known that unless I started speaking up about that, Ali.
Yeah, to just go, what do I need? I need some help chopping these vegetables. Like, give me 5 minutes. Yeah, because had you not,
it's so simple.
You're right, the plaque buildup. And especially in marriage, as I was researching everything for the marriage chapter, I found that 69% of conflicts in a marriage don't get resolved. And that's okay. We just learn to work around them. But if in those conflicts, we stuff our feelings and not say what we need, that's when that negative sentiment override happens. And we view our spouse in a, you know, because you could have easily let him go and not said anything. And then the negative sentiment override happens. So I think taking care of ourselves and learning to get in tune with what we need and verbalizing that, it's not just good for us. It's really good for our marriages too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then our girls and our boys get to see that in real time and go, that's what we do. We get to ask for what we need. And then you'll see them go, Mom, I need a hug. or mom, I need some time before we talk about school. Give me a break for a minute, right? You'll start to hear them doing it because it's such a normal thing that you're modeling.
My grandparents, who were heroes in my life, they almost made it to 73 years of marriage, Allie. And I witnessed, because I was close to them, throughout my whole life until they both passed away. They had this little contest between them. And it was just kind of outdoing each other in what Grandpa taught me about agape love, you know? And they just liked to outdo each other each day. It was sort of fun. Like a little contest that they had running every day of trying to consider what others needed. And, you know, mind reading doesn't work. So yeah, they communicated this, but they got it into a rhythm of noticing and attuning to one another so that they could beat the other to the punch. And it felt like love. It felt like, you know, that they, what I know now is that they were really hitting the mark of knowing one another, which is underlying our greatest need as humans. And it's a beautiful thing. So yeah, practice, practice, practice. We've had to practice a lot in terms of being able to communicate what we need. I've learned that when I don't see what you need and you share it with me, I want to try to meet need. I want to see equity in our division of labor and in our time and our recreation. And I think a lot of guys are really helped when women do communicate that in a way and call it to a teammate, a partnership, and a process. And there's an invitation there to grow. And if you're listening out there and you're a fella that that doesn't have that yet in your mindset, but you think about the way you love your wife and your kids, take some steps to attune and to learn and to grow together.
Absolutely. I love it, Allie. So, well, Jeff, thank you. Sure. What I'm loving, Allie, is you talking about speaking about what you need is the number one thing. Is there anything else that you would say to moms that she could start right now outside of grabbing your book? I think this would be a really good resource to start growing. But what would be one last habit you would say, do right here, do right now, today, you don't do anything else?
Something very small is looking at our friendships and identifying our healthiest friends, because research has shown friendships are the relationship that make us happiest. Our family tends to give us purpose and meaning and deep joy, but our friendships bring us happiness because we're not tied to them because they're relatives or because we're working together. We're friends with people because we genuinely like them. So a habit for moms for their emotional health is to make sure that we're still investing in time with a friend, a healthy friend, a friend who is there for us, a friend who we can trust. And whether that is a phone call, or going to a park while your kids play, whatever that looks like. There's a concept that I teach in the book called bundling your friend time. So if both of you are really, really busy, one thing that you can do is find the normal things that you have to do that would normally be boring or kind of drudgery and bundle those things. I have friends who on Tuesday nights, they put on their AirPods and set up iPads in the kitchen. They prepare dinner together. They just don't have a lot of free time to catch up. So they do that. So I think for our emotional health, something small is to make sure that we are getting time with friends, because it's such a benefit for women. Because as the author Eric Barker says, the 30s are where friendships go to die. We have to be really careful that as we get busier with our families and work and everything else we're balancing, that we're still making time for friends just for our own happiness.
I love that, Allie. It's getting a little more creative, and we'll miss the days where we could just sit for hours and just talk away, right? But that'll come again. But I do wonder what you think about the idea of giving a little more grace sometimes. I think a lot of people where they give up on a friendship because it does look different. Yeah. Speak to that, just that posture of grace for the shifts or the changes for those sacred friendships.
Yeah, I think when it's a healthy friendship, when it's a friendship that's been beneficial, but maybe that friend has lost touch with you because there's stuff going on in that friend's life, or potentially there is, maybe they haven't told you, it can leave one friend feeling really hurt when, I mean, we all know the world we live in now. We can, you know, we can feel like a friend is pulling away, but actually their life is just, you know, a disaster behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So I think if that friendship was healthy and it was a healthy friend where we left interactions feeling better than before we were interacting with them, I think reaching out can be a good idea, because I think with the way the world has been the past 3 years, there's a lot of difficulty out there. And it's not so much that women are pulling away, trying to hurt each other. I think women are pulling away, just trying to steady their own lives because there's been so chaos, mm-hmm. so much chaos and so much difficulty the past few years.
It's a good word.
Allie, it's been awesome having you on the podcast today. Tell our listeners a little bit more about where they can find you and connect to your resources.
Yeah. Website is allieworthington.com and the podcast is The Allie Worthington Show. Thanks so much for having me.
We love it. So make sure you go get her book. It's Remaining You While Raising Them by Allie Worthington. So make sure you check that out. And I would say do it in a group of some friends, some safe friends. And don't, if you don't have to get together, just read it and maybe catch up. I've been doing Marco Polo. That's been my bundle. We all, when we're carpooling our kids to and from, we're all catching up over Marco Polo. It's not live, but it's been the greatest gift at this stage of my life. So it'd be a good one to read and then maybe discuss, even if it's not live. So thank you again, Allie. And we look forward to connecting with you next week. Until then, be the leader you would follow.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.